In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's tempting to believe that the world in which we live will last forever. That it will at least outlast me. We know from Holy Writ that the world in which we live does not last forever. That someday heaven and earth, with all that it contains, will indeed disappear. This indeed is a clear and plain teaching of Scripture. The entire universe serves only a passing purpose. And when it has served that purpose, it will be torn down by the very one who fastened it. For the world in which we live is but a tent for mankind, a temporary dwelling place for men who are moving toward eternity. It is not fit for dwelling in forever, but it is sufficient for the night. And our Lord will let this tent stand until the last man has completed his pilgrimage, and then it will be pulled down. It is no abiding city, but it is scaffolding of the eternal dwelling place our Lord has gone in front of us to prepare. And just as scaffolding is removed when the building is completed, so will the earthly creation be removed when the heavenly one is brought forth. All this is clear in Holy Scripture, and all this teaches us that we must not count ourselves safe from the day of judgment. We must expect that it might happen during our life. We may not be part of those thousands of saints swelling the train of Christ's robe as he returns. We very well might be on this side of glory when Christ tears it all down. And in our day, there are indeed many who deny such a judgment. There are many who claim to be wise and say, this cannot be. And there are others who, with great enthusiasm, insist they know the day and the hour and have always been proven to be foolish. Not one has come to pass according to the prophecy of man. Time has refuted every prediction of the end of the world, every foolish promise of man that they know the day and the hour. And all those who believe them have been mocked by the enlightened ones of the world who claim this cannot be. And they hold these foolish predictions up as proof of their wisdom. So common is this plight of man that the world now scoffs at the very idea that there are still people out there like you who have not been made wise by these experiences, who have not learned from the histories, despite the myriad of false prophets, still claim that there is indeed a judgment coming. And you, dear Christian, are to not listen to the foolishness of the wisdom of man. You must not listen to the wise of this world. Rather, enlighten yourself with God's wisdom, with the Holy Scriptures, to bring them to bear against all of your impious thoughts of your flesh, so that you might know the truth. What does God's word say about this? There indeed is a judgment day, and we are not safe from it. Consider our gospel this very evening. Christ makes it abundantly clear you are foolish to think that you will not suffer the judgment day. The signs of the day have already occurred. The apostles told those who believe the judgment day is near. They prayed with great fervor, "Come, Lord Jesus." They took seriously Christ's words that this generation will not pass away before that great and mighty day. and they held themselves ready. They did not consider themselves safe, but they knew they would soon undergo it. And if the Christians of the apostolic times, those who saw and heard Christ and his apostles with their own eyes and ears, if they, those who sat at the feet of the blessed apostles, did not consider themselves safe, why should you? Should you not imitate them? For we are indeed closer this day than they ever were. You indeed have no right to think this day it will not happen to you. And so what are you to do? You are to pray earnestly to your Lord, who has promised you salvation in that day. You are to consider the times in which you live, and consider that all of this, all of the earthly things that we love and treasure, will indeed be destroyed. Now you might be a little bit wise in the ways of the world, and might say, but does not Christ say that before the Son of Man comes, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations? These things have not come to pass, so why bother concerning myself with that day? Oh, foolish Christian, do not think that these signs in sun and moon and stars must be some great, miraculous, supernatural event. These things have indeed come to pass. The wise in the world will tell you it cannot simply be the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun like clockwork, as if it does not tell us daily of the setting of the age, the return of Christ shining as bright as the sun in the east. Which any of you who have been so fortunate to sit in these first three pews on Sunday morning know very well. No, they say, the swirling of the stars about us and the circling of the constellations, that can't be the signs of which our Lord speaks. They are blind that these things are to us like vultures, circling an animal dying in the wilderness, waiting for its final breath to swoop down. The wise of the world say, we understand all of this around us. We understand why stars go dark, why the moon and sun change in the sky above us, but yet they miss the reality that is right in front of them. And certainly this distress of nations about the fear and the ending of the world we have seen constantly around us for centuries. How many scares about the end of the world have we even endured in my short lifetime? There have been wars, rumors of wars, nations rising against nations, earthquakes, and all the signs of the end time. They've all come to pass. Look around you. See the great wave of anxiety and stress of the generations. People are fainting with fear because they cannot discern what is to come. There is great fear of the future, which is discernible from the world around us and present in the hearts of men. And yet, the wise do not see the answer. And knowing all of this, where do you turn? Where does the world turn in face of this great distress? You, like the world, turn to the cares of this life. You turn for comfort to eating, drinking, building, planting, buying, selling. And all these things in our life have become so ornate, so luxurious, that we must be honest and confess that either we are heading for ruin, or there will be a change. Our days nearer and look an awful lot like the days of Noah leading up to the flood. Men gave themselves over to the same things, to such rampant gluttony, wickedness, and evil, and they did not see the signs. As Noah labored tirelessly, praying to the Lord to build and building an ark, he was mocked by the wise, by those who were so laden and weighed down with the cares of this world, they missed the sign of God's judgment. And this is happening again today. Day after day, the same conditions of gluttony continue. Day after day, the same conditions of the cares of this world continue. There has never been such keenness and understanding and judgment among Christians in bodily and temporal things as there is now. And yet we think we are so much wiser than those before us, while at the same time we so quickly and easily pick apart one another, take each other to court, and hold grudges against one another. And yet, in all of our wisdom, we are blind. And it's not just in temporal matters. Even in our own luxury and gluttony have invaded the spiritual as well. Error, sin, and falsehood have crept into the ways of the church, have crept into the thinking of Christians. Never in history have we had such rampant, blatant heresy, as all sorts of church bodies now claim the name of Christ and yet preach and teach anything but him. And we are so weak, we are very slow to condemn it. Never in the history of the world have we ever had such schisms in the church that so deeply divide families, homes, and countries. People have attempted to abolish Christ in favor of their own cares and concerns, and we pretend like we don't see it coming. We pretend like we are safe from Judgment Day. We mock those who would cry, repent, and we don't treat it seriously. And we, in our own Lutheran circles, are particularly bad about this by comforting ourselves and saying, oh, but we have the gospel. There is no need to change. There is no need to repent. Because all the sermons we normally hear are nothing more than, you are a horrible sinner, but it's okay. Because Jesus loves you. You don't need to change. You don't need to worry about anything. All the law that is preached is undone by the very preaching of the gospel. And we are told to not worry about anything. We are fine just as we are. But it is not fine. Sin remains. Your sin, your gluttony, the cares of this life can and will choke out your faith if you let them. They can cause you to lose your sobriety on that judgment day, and you are to treat them with great seriousness. And that is why we have the season of Advent. So we might not forget that Judgment Day is coming. So we might look around us and see the signs around and repent. So we might turn away from our sin and our wickedness and be healed by the very one who is coming. And by his grace and his mercy and his care be made new. So we might be reminded that our lives are not our own, but they have been bought with a price. So we might be sober-minded and awake when our Lord Jesus comes. We have this blessed season of Advent so we might know that the Son of Man is coming. The very Son of Man who has bought and purchased you with his blood. The Son of Man who has set you free, not to give yourself over to the cares of this world, but to live in righteousness and blessedness forever. Dear Christian, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In Jesus' name, amen.